Good morning, friends, and we welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. My question this morning for you is this: are you satisfied with your religion? A lot of times when I talk with individuals about being a simple New Testament Christian, being a member of the New Testament church, being the Christian that we read about in the New Testament, nothing more, nothing less, when I talk with them about putting away denominational names that are not found in the New Testament or denominational creeds or doctrines, a lot of times they will just simply tell me, I'm satisfied with my church. And a lot of times they will say that because that's the way they were raised in a particular denomination. They've done that their whole life and they're satisfied with that. Sometimes I will have a Bible study with someone in a particular religion, and they will apparently and seemingly understand the truth of what we are studying from the Word of God, but they will say, but I just simply want to stay where I'm at. And so this is a common situation, a common problem, that is just simply being satisfied with one's religion and not being willing to change to come to the truth of the Word of God. And so this morning I want to talk about the importance of making sure that we are right with God. And if that means making a change, if that means getting out of our settled mentality and lifestyle and being dissatisfied with our current state so that we can be right with God, let's be willing to do that. And not the attitude of I'm satisfied with myself, but more importantly, what do I need to do to be satisfied, to satisfy God Himself? So I hope that our study this morning will be encouraging. You know, a lot of religious people, including God's people in the Old Testament, have suffered from this attitude of being satisfied. God's people in the days of Zephaniah, if you turn to the minor prophet Zephaniah in the Old Testament, God's people there are rebuked for being settled and satisfied. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, Jehovah will not do good, neither will he do evil. The expression there, settled on their lees, comes from the Hebrew word shemarim, which means the settlings of wine. When ancients would crush grapes and squash grapes, and they would put that liquid in a wineskin or a vat or some sort of container. Well, the settlings would drop to the bottom. It would be the stem of the grape, the skin of the grape, maybe a part of a leaf, some sort of contamination, some sort of object is floating around in the water, maybe some seeds, the juice of the grape, rather, and the water that may be mixed with it. And it settles to the bottom. And it was called the lees or the dregs. We would call it today the sediment. And it referred to that which had settled on the bottom. And it's now undisturbed. And so it's used here for people, someone who is undisturbed, settled, satisfied, or stagnant in their religion or in their service to God, and they need to be shaken up and they need to make a change. People are often settled and satisfied in a sinful condition or in a religious condition that is not according to the Scripture of God's Word. We don't have time this morning to talk about all the different man-made religions. We'll address this a little bit. Even Jesus addressed religion. A person can be settled in their religion that's not right with God. Another example of this in the Old Testament is Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 11. Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remaineth in him, and his scent is not changed. And so again, that sediment that falls to the bottom of the wine barrel or vat or wine skin, and notice Jeremiah uses this figure of he has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. They would empty the juice and the liquid from vessel to vessel and put a cloth on the top and strain out the sediment. But Moab, and this is an oracle or a judgment against Moab, they are settled in their sinful condition. So, this morning, we need to examine this because it's even very common today. So how do I decide if I'm satisfied with my religion or not? How do I decide what is satisfactory in religion? Where I get to the point where I say, this is what I need to be doing and I don't need to change. How do I decide that? Well, do I do it by feelings or by facts? Well, of course, it needs to be by the facts of God's Word. Feelings mislead people. Feelings change all the time. Feelings are often wrong. Feelings are subjective. Feelings are man-made. So we need to go by the facts of God's Word. And we need to understand that many religious people in Jesus' day and even today have been satisfied, but wrong. And I know that that's hard to maybe understand or appreciate, that a religious person, someone who claims to love God and read God's Word, how could they be wrong? Well, even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount in verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. There are people out there saying, Lord, Lord, they're religious, but they're not actually doing the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is recorded on the pages of the New Testament. It's his last testament and will for us. And there are individuals who go out claiming to prophesy by thy name and cast out demons and by thy name do many mighty works, and I will profess unto them, and this is in the judgment day, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, or your version might say lawlessness. They're not following God's law. So you can be religious and be wrong. You may recall when Paul was on trial in Acts chapter 23, and he was giving his defense there before the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. It's going to set off a series of trials in the book of Acts. He said, brethren, I have lived before God in all good conscience until this day. Well, that would have included his previous life before becoming a Christian, before going to Damascus and being baptized into Christ and wash away his sins, Acts 22:16. Prior to that, he was persecuting Christians. He was having them even put to death. He stood there while Stephen was stoned to death and consented to that. Well, he was doing that, according to this verse, in all good conscience. He thought he was doing what was right. On another occasion, he said, I thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. And he did that with a clean conscience, but that was wrong. His conscience was misguided by his understanding of the old law and the particular Jewish Pharisaical approach to that, that was against Jesus. And so as he advanced in his Jewish religion, he was against Jesus, but he did all of that in a good conscience, but he was wrong. And he had to make a change. And the good thing about the Apostle Paul was, and one of the great lessons from him, is that he was not willing to just simply go through life being satisfied with his religion. He makes it very clear in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and following, that he wanted to leave that behind so that he could know Christ and be found in Christ. Leave all that behind. He was not satisfied with his religion. When he was shown the truth, he made the change. And so these examples that Jesus gives are in the life of Paul. It shows that it's possible to be satisfied when in fact we really should be dissatisfied. And what will it take, friends, to stir us up, to stir up that sediment that has fallen to the bottom of the barrel and is stagnant and settled and undisturbed, of course, morally speaking? What will it take to stir us up? Well, the only thing we have is the truth of God's Word, and I hope that that would stir you up and stir me up. And even those who claim to be New Testament Christians sometimes get settled on their lees, as it were. Even those who claim to be New Testament Christians or members of churches of Christ, it's easy to just get settled in our ways when we're not really following the Word of God. So this lesson, of course, is for all of us. You know, when you talk about being satisfied in your religion, one question, in addition to how do I decide, of course I go to the facts of God's Word, but another question is, whom should I satisfy? That really is important. When we say, well, I'm satisfied in my religion, it's about me. Many in the world today just simply want to satisfy self. But our desire, friends, should be to satisfy God, not ourselves. Jesus always did the things that were pleasing to his Father, John 8:29. Paul made it his aim to be pleasing to the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:9, Romans 14:8. Paul wanted to please God, not men, Galatians 1:10. And we could go on and on and on. The importance is pleasing God and what is satisfying to Him. And of course, we have to go to His Word for that. And so this morning, I would encourage you to stop thinking about self, but say, what is it going to take to make God happy? Paul, when he preached, he didn't want to please men, but he wanted to please God, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. And that should be our attitude, of course, today. In Hebrews chapter 11, in that great chapter on men and women who have faith, we find in verse 5 concerning Enoch. Enoch was translated, he was taken from this life, that he should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him, for he has had witness borne to him that before his translation he had been well-pleasing unto God. And without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. Two verses talk about being well-pleasing to God. That's the key. So then that raises the question, how can we know what pleases God? How can we know what satisfies God? Well, God is satisfied when His Word is satisfied by our obedience. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This is speaking to Christians, but the principle would apply to anyone. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is acceptable is the will of God, and we need to be doing that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Ephesians 5, 9 and 10. For the fruit of the light is goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So he had just talked about goodness, righteousness, and truth, and that's how we prove what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's obedience to God's word. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul says, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walk worthily of the Lord. How? Bearing fruit unto every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God and strengthened with all power. So these things deal with knowing God's word and obeying it. And that's how we please the Lord. That's how we satisfy Him. So we may be religious, but what we're doing is not found in the Word of God. And so it's not pleasing to God. It may be pleasing to man, but not to God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So when we keep His commandments, we do what is pleasing in God's sight. So, how do we decide? Well, the facts of God's Word. Whom should we satisfy? God. How do we go about doing that? By obeying God's Word. So, in our time remaining, I want to ask some questions. Is God satisfied with things that may be in my life? Is God satisfied? First of all, is God satisfied with my worship? Well, is my worship found in the New Testament? If it's not, then He's not satisfied with that. If I'm doing things in the name of worship and it's not in the New Testament, and today in so many religions, it's fun and games and productions and music productions, all kinds of things going on, instrumental music and bands and other kinds of things that aren't found in the New Testament. It's not satisfying to God. And there was a worship going on in the New Testament that wasn't satisfying to God. And Jesus pointed that out with the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus quotes the Old Testament Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." God was not satisfied with the worship that was going on in the days of Jesus in the temple. It had been corrupted. And it was all about the doctrines of men rather than the Old Testament law of Moses. It's possible and highly likely today, considering how many forms of worship are going on, that God is not satisfied with my worship. But I can easily change that and start worshiping the way New Testament Christians did. And I need to be willing to change that. Is God satisfied with my current level of understanding of the Word of God? We're supposed to read and study and grow. And there are so many people, even religious people, who have a very small knowledge, or just a little smattering, we might say, of the Word of God, and they think that that's enough, and it's not. And sometimes that lack of understanding of the whole counsel of God is what is causing them to be in a wrong religion. I think of Apollos, for example, who spoke some things, he preached some things in Ephesus, and then went to Corinth. And what he spoke, part of it was fine, but he needed to make some changes. And Luke records in Acts 18, verse 25, that this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. He was saying some things that were true, but it wasn't the whole story. It wasn't the complete picture of all that Jesus wanted others to know about him and his word and his new covenant. Apollos had been teaching some things up to the point of what he knew about John the Baptist, but there was much after that involving the truth of Jesus that needed to be taught, and Priscilla and Aquila taught him the way of God more accurately. And notice that he was fervent, he was a zealous person, but he still needed to grow. Notice that part of what he said was true, but he still needed to grow. He had a great attitude, he was a good speaker, but none of these changed the fact that he needed a greater understanding of the truth of God's Word. Maybe, friend, you need the same. Let's be willing to grow in our understanding of the Word of God. Is God satisfied with my conversion? Well, in Acts chapter 19, just a few verses from here, the first seven verses, there were some people who had been baptized in John's baptism. They certainly had made a step forward in their life in serving God, but at this time they needed to be baptized into the name of Jesus, and they hadn't been taught that yet. And Paul teaches them that, and Paul baptizes them into the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts 19:5. This is baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. This is what they needed. And they weren't willing just to simply say, well, we're satisfied with John's baptism. It had its place. But when Jesus came and commanded his baptism, that from that point onward, and from the point that Jesus died on the cross and established his new covenant, sent his disciples into all the world to preach that covenant, from that point onward, that was the baptism that Jesus wanted. No longer the baptism of John. These men were not simply satisfied, these 12 men. Well, I'm just satisfied. Apollos didn't say, well, I'm satisfied, Priscilla and Aquila. No, thanks. They were willing to make the change. Friends, let's be willing to do the same today. Is God satisfied with my level of maturity? God is always wanting us to grow and be mature and do the responsible thing and do the adult thing. And that's the thing that involves sacrifice and maturity and unity and working with others. The church at Corinth, after it had gotten established in Acts 18, was a church that was immature. There was a lot of division and other problems there. And Paul writes to them in 1 Corinthians 3:1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you were not able to bear it. No, not even now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, are you not carnal, and do you not walk after the manner of men?" They were babes. They didn't grow up. And they needed to grow up. They needed to mature. And Paul writes 1 and 2 Corinthians to get them to do that very thing. We need to grow and apply God's word in our actions, our decisions, our choices, and always do the mature thing. That is the thing that God would have us to do, and not the immature thing. Is God satisfied with my progress in a similar way? My spiritual progress as I go through life, am I getting more of a knowledge of God's word? Am I getting more faithful? Am I getting more obedient? Am I getting more serving of others? Am I reading the Bible more, praying more? Or am I falling backward and quitting? The Galatian brethren were running. They got off to a great spiritual start. Paul writes in Galatians 5:7, "You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth?" After they had become Christians, they allowed false teachers to come in and sway them and turn them away from the pure gospel of Christ into doing and believing other things. And they were being hindered in their running, in their progress. Is that what happens with you, friend? You need to remove those obstacles, those stumbling blocks, those hurdles, those things that are in the way, and run that Christian race, Hebrews 12:1-2, looking to Jesus, laying aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. Sin, false teaching, human tradition, lies, worldliness, whatever it is, put it aside so that we can run a Christian race unhindered and we make it all the way to the end like Paul did when he said, I finished the race. Is God satisfied with your progress? Is God satisfied with your growth, your spiritual growth? In a similar way, Hebrews chapter 5, are we growing spiritually? In Hebrews chapter 5, the author of Hebrews talks about how that some of them at this time should have been teachers. For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, there's an ought. There's an ought. That means a demand. This is what Christ wants. You have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. They're not growing spiritually to the point where they can teach. Well, what is that going to involve? Learning the Word of God, volunteering to then teach what we have learned. Some Christians have been baptized for many years and they're still spiritual infants. They will not get involved. They will not teach. They will not serve. They will not volunteer. And often they're the very ones that cause problems in the church. They act immaturely, and whether through gossip or division or strife or jealousy or something, they're some of the first ones to cause problems. Why? Because they're immature. Just like little babies cry or little children get in a fight often, that's what some who claim to be Christians will often do. They're not growing up and acting like an adult, and it causes problems. Is God satisfied with your maturity, your progress, your growth? Is God satisfied with your life of service to Him? In Revelation 2 and 3, five of the seven churches of Asia were condemned. And they were claiming to be churches of Christ. They were. But there was error and sin and false teaching and immorality and spiritual laziness and lethargy in the church. And Jesus said, you've got to repent and stop that. Jesus was not satisfied. God was not satisfied with their spiritual condition. Even though they had some good things going, some commendations, they also had some condemnations. Friend, let's not be satisfied with ourselves, but let's satisfy God. Don't be satisfied with anything less than what satisfies God. Those in the New Testament, we read about the Apostle Paul, Apollos, others, they made a change. And then others were just simply satisfied and did not make a change. Let's be the ones who change. Will you change today? God wants to be pleased. Let's please Him in all things. And God will judge the settled and satisfied life. Knowing that, let's get up and make that change today. Don't be satisfied with your religion until your religion matches that of the New Testament truth of Christ. If we can help you to make that change, please contact us. Thank you for being with us today on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.